Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Welcome to On Wheels Now, your inside look at local motorsports. Live from Las Vegas, January 5th. Happy New Year. There's no better way to kick off this new year than having Johnny Spilotro here. So I appreciate you coming in, man.
Thank you guys for having me. I wish the circumstances would have been better, but, you know, I'm so glad to be here, for
that's,
sure.
That's cool. There's no better way to kick it off than that, so we appreciate it. And hosting along with myself tonight, of course, man on a mission, Mr. Gary Wyatt.
How you doing?
What's happening, Mr. Gary Wyatt?
Yeah.
What's your middle name?
I don't have one.
If I said it, you'd think you were in trouble.
I think my mom and dad was around.
It remains anonymous.
You moved your mic.
I did.
There you
How's
go.
That? Is that better?
There you go. You can't touch stuff around here.
It's Matt's fault.
That's right.
Didn't
do it.
So either way, Matt Esposito, appreciate it. What's happening, man? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
What's your middle name?
Robert.
We call you Bob.
Well, it's my dad's name.
Oh.
So I got my dad's name as my middle name, and then my sister got my grandmother's name.
Well, I'm glad you didn't get your father's name.
That's right. But I rolled that to my son. So my son's middle name is Robert also.
Oh.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But his first name is Vincenzo. So there's that.
That's another show.
That's a whole other story.
Yeah. Come on, we got a Spilotro.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I can't think of a better first name than that.
There you go. You heard it here first.
There you go.
Cool, man.
One Italian to another.
There you go. So, what's happening, man?
Nothing.
New Year? What'd
you do for 5 days?
He worked and then.
Worked and ran around like a head with my chicken cut off, and now I gotta go back to work tomorrow.
You cut your chicken off?
Uh-huh.
That's pretty sad.
How do you cut a chicken off a head?
But anybody could do it.
Right.
He finds a way somehow. But
hey, you know.
Now I got to go back to work tomorrow. I've had 4 or 5 days off. So.
Wait a minute. You actually took some time off?
Oh, yes, I did. I have.
And he didn't call you at all, did he?
No.
I wasn't at the shop.
And I didn't call him.
Nope.
Or did I? I guess I did. I may have. But that was for good reason, because there was some racing this past weekend.
Yes, there was.
And which is, you know, thankfully somewhere like Havasu, the Havasu95speedway.com, if you want to find out more. But I'm glad they're able to successfully go through the steps to continue to get the races that they have and doing what is expected of them at Havasu.
And I need to say the November 28th race, they reported 80 cars through the gates.
Okay.
This past race, 72 cars
through
the gates.
So they're not slowing down at all with
no.
Car count.
Nope.
All that.
Nope. Whatever Bill's doing, he's doing it right. So.
Yeah. You know what? And they've always done things right down there, in my opinion. You know, they've treated the racers real well, I think. They treat the fans real well. So there's no doubt, you know, you want to keep going back, at least for me anyways. And, you know, even if you have a bad night of racing.
We'll find out more about it.
I wasn't there either, so I don't know. We'll find out more of that. But, you know, even if you have a bad night of racing, it's still fun to be there and be part of that whole thing. And I'm putting down Vegas or anywhere else, but it's a different feel there, you know, at Havasu, I think. You know, but I don't know. Speaking of Vegas, anybody hear anything? Anything? What's the inside, Johnny? We're gonna pick your brain. What are you hearing?
Well, you guys know as much as I do. The last we heard was right back in December when I announced that we were making the trip up to Havasu anyway. I think George Antill commented on one of my posts that it's not looking good for us. So I'm not real optimistic of, you know, the future of our Speedway, and it's a crying shame, really, because
it is. I mean,
you know, it's for kids. It's like me that found that outlet,
right?
That found, you know, that hobby that they fell in love with and basically called it a second home. That's being taken away from them. Now they're going to be forced, like us, to travel to other parts of the country,
right,
just to even get a shot at racing all year. And that's going to be more expensive down the line than
right
it would be, you know, racing here. So, you know, I understand that there's, you know, there's like a corporate agenda, you know, in place, and maybe this is being, you know, me being a little bit naive, but you know what, that right shouldn't be taken
right
away for us, because we put a lot of effort, a lot of our blood, sweat, and tears on all of our cars, you know, just to not only have fun, but also prove ourselves like on our home soil. And to have that taken that away from us, it's really a shame that it's gone this way. So I'm fairly disappointed. I really hope it turns the corner. But you know, it's just a bummer, man.
You know, it is. Obviously, same thing. You know, we don't know what the inside workings are. We may hear things and all that. And obviously, we have our own opinions on what may be happening and all that. But, you know, you bring up a good point, though, is, you know, that the track's there for our local community sense. You know, it's something that you were introduced to as a community.
But generations.
Exactly.
Generations.
Right.
Quite. Like,
you know,
you said, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into that track.
You know, and that facility's been around for a long time, and it's one of the best in the West area. You know,
well,
as
well,
far
look
as
at the
facility
outcome.
Goes.
Look at how many racers have come mm-hmm. out of Vegas.
Right.
In all aspects, short track, dirt, you know, drag strip. A lot of pro.
Not only does it give kids, you know, people to kind of look up to, and people who they want to emulate and be like, it also gives them, you know, the opportunity to kind of learn, you know, their own values, their own work ethic that they could apply towards,
right,
you know, the future. I mean, look at us young guys that, you know, that started out in bandos not too long ago, like 10, 15 years
right
ago. We're all out now in the world, you know, doing great things because of the lessons that, you know, that
right
racing taught us, that basically taught us, you know, not to take any chances, that to always put, you know, 100% effort in, not to cut any,
right,
not to cut any corners, give back to the people that try to help you along the way as much as they give to you.
Right.
Self-discipline. Yes.
Well, you know, and that's one of the things, you know, yeah, obviously there's other sports and things out there, you know, whether you're involved in school activities or after
mm-hmm.
school sports and all that, but not everybody is. And when they're not, there's things like the racetrack that, you know, other guys are involved in. You know, I don't know if, Gary, if you were ever involved in sports in high school or anything
yeah
like that, you know, but wouldn't it have been great to have discovered local racing at
yep
that time, you know, when you're a young kid, you know, even going into Bandoleros, we didn't have that option when we were,
nope,
mm-hmm, at least when you were younger, they had what, Model Ts,
yeah,
and, you know,
wooden wheels,
wooden spoke wheels.
Uh-huh.
Well, they didn't have the smaller version of that,
uh-huh,
except for the pedal carts.
Yeah.
But, you know,
you're right. If, you know, after school had a place or had something to do after school, go work on your car instead of go.
Hey, maybe we're not.
Of course, I never got in trouble. Go get in trouble.
Wait, can we call some of your family members? We'll ask them.
Can we verify that?
Right? Let's fact check it.
Well, the thing that I think is
fake
cool.
News.
Fake news.
The thing I think is cool, unlike a lot of the other sports, is it's very multi-generational. So where someone, a young racer, can commingle with a 40-50-year-old experienced
30-40, by the way. Yeah.
But you know
I'm just
I mean?
Joking.
Can it, but they can race together. They can, they're in the pits. You know,
right.
So you're getting that experience, unlike you know some of the other sports like basketball, you're playing within a 4 or 5 year range.
Well, you know,
you know what I mean, absolutely.
You know, you're exposing you know, young drivers to mentors and learning how to work with mentors and respecting, you know, some of the discipline that they've learned and passing along to
and,
younger drivers.
And that's one of the biggest things that I'll hold on to for
right.
the entirety of the race in my career. So I've been fortunate enough to race against, you know, not just older guys in general, but the best
experience,
of the best to ever
right.
come out of those
Absolutely.
Divisions, like Phil Goodwin, Jimmy Parker Jr.,
right.
James Wingard, Dustin Ash,
right.
Jason Kaiser,
right.
Chris Klein, Scotty, just everybody, Derek Thorne, even,
right.
you know, just to really expose myself to the best of the best and what they offered to me. I owe a lot of credit, you know, to those guys that
right.
I've competed against to kind of mold me into the driver that I am today because they pushed me to be at that absolute level.
Absolutely.
Because that's what they would want. That's what a true competitor would want.
And they're out there racing and, you know, putting out all their best, what they've learned and all that. And whether they know it or not, there's our young drivers, you know, like yourself and even – almost as old as drivers like myself, you know, learning from them guys, you know, what they've experienced and what they've learned and all that. And you may not even know it. You probably have some fans and some other younger racers out there watching you. And, you know, I've always told you, you're one of my favorite super stock drivers. And it's fun to see you move up into, different divisions and all that.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun to watch you progress, you know.
But even with some exception, it's still, as the racers move on, they don't forget where they came from.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
so they'll still come back and they'll still come shake your hand or they'll come see your
right.
race and say, hey, I remember when you were in Bandos.
Right.
When I was racing.
That's right.
You know, so they remember.
Yeah.
You know, so there's still that kind of family
mm-hmm.
at the track where they, you know, they still know where they came from.
Right. No, you know, obviously there's always a flip side. I've had some bad days at the track and I've had some great enemies at the track. We all have. But, you know, that's kind of like a family thing,
life?
You know.
I always say that.
But you learn from it.
But that's life.
Right.
I always say that a bad day is at the track is better than a bad day anywhere else.
Absolutely.
And, you know, like Matt mentioned, you know, it's a lot like life. You know, yeah, you're kind of going through the motions and it seems like you're going through a routine, but every different day you're experiencing yourself to – something new, you're trying to do
right.
something different to get the most out of yourself.
Yep.
And that's a lot what racing has taught me. So
and you learn to lose. Yep.
Wait a minute, you're not allowed to lose anymore. There's all only
win
way
and learn,
nobody
but,
gets
yeah.
trophies
learn.
Anymore.
But you can't win all the time. But you learn to lose. And I think that's a big thing that's missing a lot.
Maybe that's why young people don't like racing because they're being taught that there are no losers, and then when they do lose, it's like, well, what is this loss thing I'm experiencing?
It sounds out of the realm, but I actually think that is part of it, that these kids are just so used to getting what they want, and, you know, if it's not what they want, their parents can buy something in, or they can get some sort of...
That's due to, in part of, you know, the system of, you
right.
know, driver development that...
Right.
Everybody's, you know, pretty much used to. It's pretty much, you know, gotten to the whole daddy give me money phase.
Right. Right.
And that's kind of the stigma that we're all put into, that we're all trying to work against and still make it to that top level without, you know, with dad teaching you more about how to do the right things, not trying to buy you to do the
mm-hmm.
right thing, you know.
Well, like
we still want somebody to buy us to ride on. I'm just kidding. But yeah, you're right. You know, you learn to appreciate and work hard for something, and then appreciate the outcome of you know reaping the benefits of what you've put into it. So,
right.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know.
And you always learn more from, you know, your failures than what you do for your successes, and that's why the bad days, you know, kind of stick out. You know, a little bit more, but it's all about your perspective and how you handle those particular bad days to make you into a stronger individual.
Right. I mean, could you imagine if you never had a bad day?
You're a liar.
Exactly.
You're a liar.
But you learn, exactly, you learn from those, you know, you got good days and bad days, and you hope you have more good days than bad days. And when you do have a bad day, whether it's, you know, whatever the bad day means to you, you learn from it, you know, if best possible. So, you know, that, you know, whatever, whether that means putting more effort into something that you forgot or missed or whatever, or who knows, whatever it is. You know, I mean, Matt, you've had a bad day ridden skid plates and you haven't raced since then, but it's in the back of your mind. You want to, race some more and have kept an eye out.
I want to go in right now. It's just a financial thing, but once I figure that out, but then it's also because of the track too.
Right. You know. Gary's had bad days. The first day he met me, he's never been able to live it down since.
It's the difference in a headache. Bad day.
Oh, your bad day's coming.
Thanks.
No. No, I just have to wait to see what my opportunities are. So,
right.
Where we're going when everything opens up.
Yeah.
If this track is, you know, if the Bullring's not open and there's going to be travel tracks,
right,
then I have to reevaluate of what kind of car I'm going to build, how I'm going to get there, and that kind of stuff.
Well, you know, and a lot of people have gone, because like anything else, when something's thrown in your face or somebody throws up a wall in front of you, you learn how to get around it. And that's another thing with skid plate drivers in that level is guys are building them to where they can use them for multi-use, not just skid plate, but for mini stock also racing. Same thing with, super lates. You know, there's pro lates and there's late model racing and super late model racing.
It wasn't easy, but we pulled it off almost.
Well, you know, that's part of the experience is learning what you have to do to pull it off. You know, whether the mistake was yours or it was just a fluke or whatever happens, you know, things happen just like, a factory stock or a bomb or whatever they want.
Whatever they call them.
You know.
They're the same. Call them what you will.
Depends on what track you're at. Yes, that's all. That's really the only difference, some of the rule restrictions. But I don't know. You know, of course, you bring up a good point, Matt, on like the we don't know when a track's going to open. Vegas, we hope it opens, but we don't know.
Well, see, that's also, it's kind of a shame that they won't communicate with us, good or bad, at least kind of.
Just say, hey, sorry, I haven't heard anything, because obviously
this is the situation we're in.
Here's maybe this is their thought. No news is good news.
Well, yeah, hopefully. Yeah.
I am sure a lot of people in our local area has blown up Dave Stetson's phone
exactly
to ask for the good news, and there's no good response for it.
And in his defense, he's probably not getting any direction,
about
him.
Not.
So what are you supposed to say? What are you supposed to do? That's tough.
I know, and that's just a shame behind it, because if they're having an issue, if the Bullring is having an issue in itself, these are the demands from LVMS. This is what we need to accomplish. Call a driver meeting. Have all the drivers show up and let them tell us, this is what we have to accomplish. Can we accomplish this, or we need to close the track? But at least have us be willing to maybe put in a little more, pay a little more, whatever we have to do, volunteer. But ask us, because most of us, I think, would be willing to do something. Even if I can't drive, I'll volunteer.
Right. And unfortunately, I think it goes beyond that right now at this point, is that the facility is, I my opinion, of course, I don't know. This is not anything I've heard or seen or anything. But, my opinion is, the facility is being used, obviously, being rented out or whatever. But if there's obstacles in the way, it doesn't matter how much we want to race. How can you with the obstacles on the property,
Well, then they just need to call it. So then they just have to have a meeting and say, unfortunately, because of this, we will be closing. And
well, I'm sure.
And then we can go on our way. We can make our plans, spend their money, do whatever we need to do.
But you
build the car you want.
It's real. It becomes political at that point, because once you announce something like that, it's hard to retract some of the things you say. So
of course,
I think in their side of it, you know, they're being real.
They're better off not saying nothing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
right. But how many of these racers are, you know, like you said, spending extra money for the travel,
right,
modifying their cars to meet different rule packages,
right,
and stuff. So they're putting in.
Well, and there's no doubt if, let's say, they said, hey, we're going to race next weekend, you know, they have a really good car count, but they're probably going to lose a lot, too, because, you know, they've
it's
already
all gotta be in. It's all got to be in good timing for the racers to,
right,
kind of prepare their cars, because a lot of them either have to convert back to what they had before or, you know, prepare, period, because they haven't done, you know, a whole lot. But the bottom line is, if the ball is in their court, right, it's all about deciding whether they want to do things fiscally or morally. So the decision's up to them. No matter how much we can preach or try to persuade them to make the right decision for us, they're going to have their own agenda. But I will say this, you know, if they want to continue racing the Bull Ring, and if they want it to go back to the way it was in the glory days, look back at the formula, look at what worked, what you did in the past, you know, what you did to make
right.
it fan friendly for, you know, the fans, especially the kids, like the boxcar races or even the jump houses or dance contests.
But
you know,
the problem with that, though, is they don't know today if they can have fans. You know,
that's,
how do you,
that's
so
true.
How do you announce? But yes, but when that is someday an option,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's things to consider, obviously.
Yeah.
You know.
And also from a promotional perspective, what rules did you run to, you know, make it's a bigger car count.
Let's just say, for instance, the track says, hey, we can go race, but we don't have fans anymore, so we don't get the 200 people that used to show up. I mean, 2,000 people that used to show up. You know, we don't get the front gate and the concessions and things like that. So we're going to have to charge racers more. Do you think the racers will welcome, hey, we're going to charge you $200 to come in and race now instead of 45 or whatever? I don't know what the price is.
It depends on the quality.
Would that be okay?
I think it depends on the quality of racing.
But that's not going to change. The quality of racing has been the same out there since 96, since I've been out there. It hasn't changed. I don't care what person you put in place. It's just a little different politics in between. That's my opinion again. But the quality of racing is going to be similar to what you've seen in the past.
It's not so much the entry gate that the racers got the gouged on. It's mainly the tires. That's where the racers have.
Okay. So entry isn't the problem. So we don't.
Yeah.
So we don't care if you pay $200 whether you're racing the Bandolero or a factory stock or a super late model. It's the cost of racing. So you're saying, let's say, as a super late model racer, that's an issue. But for a factory stock guy, that's not the same issue. Because he buys DOT tires mm-hmm. from mm-hmm.
discount
yeah. tire,
discount
let's say,
tire,
or
mm-hmm.
something, you know.
Yeah, exactly. The cost for the high level racing, it's just going up and up and up. If Dale Jr.
But that's Hoosier's fault.
I
blame it on Hoosier.
If Dale Jr. is having a problem of, you know, the cost of just late model racing, not super late
right.
model racing, late model racing. Big difference between the two. If
absolutely.
He's having a problem with the cost going up, even in the back east, when all the resources are available at his disposal,
right.
there's an issue. And I think that's kind of trickled down to the way.
But think of that same issue here at our local track. We have a super speedway that funds this facility here.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't that trickle down to our local track too? To me, this is my opinion again. I've always thought money should never be an issue with the Bull Ring. That should always be there for the local, whether they lose money or make money on it, that's there for locally. They can make up for it. It's probably pennies to them based off of what they bring in on the super speedway. Maybe I'm wrong, but.
But also with the. Lost my train of thought.
Sorry. Maybe not pennies, but dollars.
No, it's probably pennies to them.
Oh, no, with the paying a higher entry fee.
Right.
We're going to double the entry fee. Do you still want to race? Well, I don't know. But it's going to be live on Friday night.
That costs money. Who's paying for that?
That's why the entry fee is doubled. Because they got to
make
somehow.
Up for no fans. So
well,
how about tripling it?
So make okay, but for making up for the
to
fans,
me, you're a British red coat saying tax. Let's raise taxes.
But if you're getting something extra, so
right.
Yeah, we're not gonna have fans. We're not gonna have this, but in return, we're offering you. It's gonna be live on Friday nights and Saturday nights. It's gonna be live on this.
Well, no.
So now, if you're still getting exposure, so now. You can still race locally and still get exposure, which keeps your fan base and helps with scouts and whatever if you want to go professional racing. So if they're offering that, so when you still go out of state, people still know to spell out your name. They still know these names.
Right.
Because I watched him on Friday night in Vegas, and now he's
well, here. They know in Havasu because he just goes there.
Well, no. But what I'm saying is, yeah. You know, that kind of concern.
Right.
Like, if they're losing money on fans.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they can make up. Still offer something to the racers.
Right. Well, that brings up where these companies, it's not SpeedShift TV anymore. What is it?
thanks.
Yeah, what was it? Maverick something?
No, it's anyways,
yeah.
Force
no,
something.
No.
I don't know. Well, I'm sorry, Chet.
Yeah,
you let you down. Here, let you down. But, you know, companies like that do pay-per-view, you know, racing, you know, that should be. That's probably why they're growing and stuff like that now, because of this. They don't have fans in the stands, but fans still want to watch racing. They still want to see Johnny Spilotro race
and
somewhere.
But the track wants to keep its exposure too.
Right.
You know, so they want to be on TV because they still want people to say that.
There's a lot of subscribers on Speed 51.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah. Mass TV, Full Throttle TV.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's keeping the track name alive also. And I think that's, you know, I think it's a positive for the track. I think it's a good choice in this time, if you don't have fans, to put it on air. Whether it's pay-per-view or even just, you know, streaming or, you know, podcast, you watch it later.
I'm listening. I'm just.
I think I think it's still a positive marketing for the track as well as the racers.
Yeah, you know, and obviously we don't know. You know, we're not their accountants, so we don't know kind of the monies that they're working with or anything like that.
But once again, ask us or tell us, like, hey, we need to make $100,000, you know, every race.
Well, here's my question for you. If you get 100 people that has raced or races at the Bullring and see how many of those 100 would pay the double entry fee, because I'm going to tell you, as you know, I've traveled a lot, and it was less money for me to go race in Pahrump every weekend than it was for one weekend at the Bullring. And I'm 10 miles from the Bullring. That's my experience.
Well,
I don't know what anybody else's experience is.
Well, you have to throw in there dirt and asphalt, too.
Well,
absolutely, because Johnny can't
if you're
go
an
race
asphalt driver,
you know, his car
right.
out there. He'd have to
right.
switch the whole.
But the same thing, traveling down to Havasu is less money than going to my backyard. That's my experience and my experience only. You might get 85 of the 100 people that wants to pay that extra fee.
I'd pay it just to race by myself out there.
You would rent the whole
car. I would. I just got to go by myself. But.
No, but you understand.
Right.
The flip side of the coin of what you're saying is, will they get, you will go. Johnny will go. Mike will just rent the whole track and
right.
the hell
by
both
myself.
Of you.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
But you understand what I mean? The flip side of it is there's a lot more racers today is traveling and probably having more fun.
Well, you know, that I've always been a huge advocate of traveling to at least
you
as far as you can go.
A wise guy once told me when you start traveling, you'll be much happier.
Yeah.
And I personally like to travel.
Yeah, it's fun. It's
to
different
the,
experiences. Obviously,
yeah.
it costs more.
But
it's,
you get new exposures
exactly.
to different drivers. You
exactly.
get you feel off
That's
a different
huge.
Energy from a different crowd.
That's
you
huge.
Learn more from a different track. Like
yeah.
when we went up to Havasu this past weekend, like as far as while we were out there, well, as far as you know, racing the track goes, you know, I loved it.
Right.
Even though I was getting my tail handed to me, you know, trying
right.
to control the car. You know, with a much bigger motor than what they had.
So tell me this. So explain if you don't mind, you know, your experience, let's say from the time your car's sitting in the shop till you got out to the track to make your first practice or anything like that versus what you've done locally. What was that experience like? I mean, is your car usually at your house or at Gaffarini's? Or
it's just down the road from Scotty's. In fact, we're gonna work on it tonight as soon as I head on out of here. But
you'd have to buy pizza.
That's what I was just gonna ask. Who's buying pizza?
Sometimes I do. We haven't done a pizza night there in a while.
Well, you gotta start that back up.
We gotta start it back up.
I'm not good.
They're probably listening to me on it, But anyway, yeah, no, getting ready for the bull ring is a lot more different than getting ready for Havasu, depending on what kind of race it is. Like, you know, for the SRL race, you know, there was butterflies.
Right.
Like, you know, you were going up against the elite of the elite.
The best of the best. Yeah.
Best of the best. With Havasu, it was a little bit different, but the focus is more racing the racetrack with what you had. So, you know, controlling in a car that small with a big motor that has about 620 horse, you know, it's not easy in the slightest bit at all.
So you use your super late model to race there? Is that what you had to kind of
exactly
quote unquote detune it to a little bit?
As best as we possibly could. But it was still very challenging to even get off the corners. Like I couldn't even get to full throttle at all just to make it down the straightaway.
Is that a gear issue for you, or is that a learning experience for you? Is it because of different tracks? Have you raced that track before?
That was the first time I ever ran on it.
And that's cool. I'm glad you experienced the whole different new experience at that track because it is a two groove track. It's not a horsepower track, which you learned real fast.
All momentum, and I knew that right from the beginning. So I kind of had an idea on how I was going to drive it to begin with. But you know, it was like a whole new experience.
Who did you have spotting?
It was kind of my dad did.
Okay,
my dad did.
Has he raced that track before?
No, he's been there before, but he's never ran on it.
But you guys obviously know enough people to know what to do on that track.
Yeah, absolutely.
We
do our research. We watch some film,
right.
Kind of study, you know, what at the fast guys, what their lines run, the attitudes of their cars, and try to mimic that, you know, as best we can. But it was a different experience because it felt like you were on a quarter midget track almost.
As soon as you're on, you're off, right?
As soon as you're on, you're off. Like, as soon as you have the wheel online, you can literally see the next corner. You can literally see the next corner as you're going through the corner that you're in.
Yeah.
You're literally thinking about the next in as you're on your way center out. So
how many cars were out there when you were out there? I mean, were there?
I think like 15 of them. 15, sounds about right.
Like that.
Yeah.
Now, keep in mind, 15 on that track is different than 15 on
the
bullring. So,
yeah.
You know, you're talking about a full track with 15 on that Havasu track. So
it was a solid field. It was definitely a solid field. And you know, we struggled, you know, throughout the time that we were there through practice just to maintain the traction. We were kind of burning our left rear tires up quite a bit, but I think by the time we got to qualifying, we had it dialed down as best we could.
Did you feel comfortable? Like, hey, I'm starting to get this track.
Absolutely.
The car's coming in.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Absolutely. It was challenging.
That's a good feeling, by the way, when you feel like things are coming together, especially the hard work.
It was challenging because it taught me, you know, impulse control. It taught me patience. It taught me discipline. Like, you have to have a solid rhythm from start to finish on that track because of the fact that there's no room for error on it. At least with Irwindale, you could probably get away with messing a few things up through the corners, but at Havasu, once you mess up, it shows.
Right.
So I also underestimated how abrasive it can be on the tires.
Yeah.
I was not expecting that at all.
And it's supposed to be better today than it used to be. They used to really have a rougher surface. So
yeah. So you really had to learn how to keep the car underneath you, kind of go with the feel without it doing anything. You want it to be as normal as possible. At least with here in Vegas, you can drive it into the corner and try to push hard as much as you can to hope that it will stick. But But at Havasu, you know, there is a fine line that you have to run. It is black and white, and the moment you mess up, you know, everybody takes advantage of it.
Right.
So
what position did you qualify?
Yeah.
Decent.
Yeah.
Okay.
For our time, you know, we gained like literally like 7/10 to like a full second on practice.
Cool.
So it was a big deal, and I felt like if we maintained that, we would have easily scored a top 10. Top 5 was a little bit
tougher.
Bit of a stretch. A win was definitely out of the question.
Yeah.
But if we walked out of there with like a 6th to 8th place finish, I definitely would have been happy with that. But
what happened?
I mean, lineup happened.
Okay, so before that happened, what happened?
So you
got the lineup. Oh, tell me about tech. What did you think of the process there, that the guys getting you through tech and all that? You know,
quick and painless.
In comparison to Vegas?
Just scale you and go.
Okay.
Just scale you and go. In contrast to SRL, where, you know, they literally teched everything for you. But even that as it may, I wasn't sure if we were a local team.
Right.
I wasn't sure if we weren't regulars. But, you know, the SRL crew, they treated us with the utmost respect possible. And it really shows on the racetrack when they go to you in the driver's meeting and demand to race hard, but race each other with respect.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing is one of the officials, when they were teching our carburetors, comes up to us and he goes, "You know what? You guys keep digging. I appreciate what you guys are doing. I definitely respect a lot of the local guys, you know, giving us a shot." So I thought that was pretty cool enough for me, at least, to make me want to come back and do one of those races again.
Well, you know what? In the SRL, it has been around a long time. They're proven what they're doing, you know, works.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they are probably one of the top-notch series on the West Coast.
Absolutely.
Know, if not the
most professional racing series that I have ever competed in by far. So shout out to Brian Olson and Larry Collins for getting it all together. So definitely going to come back. Not sure if it's going to be the Super Late Series or the Pro Late Series. It's definitely going to be either one.
One of those, yeah.
One of those.
Well, yeah,
and we'll
if you don't know, like this coming up season, they're taking under their wing the Pro Late model as part of their series this coming up season also. So that should be interesting to see how that goes. And, you know, it's always – that's one thing about them. They're always – changing with the times, you know, like you have to do. You have to change the times. You can't get stuck in the past because you won't go forward.
And also, bending. I shouldn't say bending, but listening to what the teams, drivers, and sponsors wanted, because a lot of them demanded a Pro Late A model series just to cut down on the cost, but still have that competitive feel that the SRL series produces for the longest time. So I can't wait to be a part of it. I can't wait to see how it shakes out. But
speaking of the SRL, when they run a program like they do, and obviously tires are expensive with them also, do you feel like when you spend the money on tires with them, it matches with the level of that their series is at versus a local track? So when you're spending that similar money at a local track, it makes a huge difference than when you're spending it with a series.
Yeah, racing at the Bullring, you would never think to buy two sets of 30, 35s, and 30, 45s. Mm-hmm. You just would never think that unless you're starting out. But if you want to even remotely hang with the SRL guys, that's what you have to do.
Right.
I mean, they're that good.
So, you know, when you're going into a program like that, you're going to spend the money if you want to be competitive, but that's why you're there, is to test your level of experience and your level of, what you're going to be able to learn with these guys.
But like we talked about before, it's a respect thing.
Right.
The SRL series respects the drivers, so the drivers respect the series.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you don't have that communication and you don't have that respect, that's when things go sour and people have
And unfortunately, you know, guys without a local track to race at in their backyard, they have to look at other means if they want to continue to race, you know, like yourself. That the next closest asphalt track is probably Havasu, and obviously they run a great show there, but you know, you don't always want to run on a quarter mile track. Sometimes you want to run on a 3/8 mile or
half mile or something like that. So.
Oh yeah. At this point, you know, it's all about finding the best competition at the best racetracks around this area possible. You know, obviously we're going to try Havasu again on the 16th. Probably put out hopefully put out a little bit more of a better effort than what we have been, because this 5-race stretch has been absolutely horrendous for us.
Well, you know what?
Yeah.
You know but at least you've been on that track now. You know what to expect. You know the guys you're racing against and all that. So you know
now we're gonna have a better game plan. Can't tell anybody what the plan is, but we'll have a better.
You can tell me.
Nobody's listening. Go ahead.
Sure. We'll have a better plan to put on a better showing for sure.
Plan
so.
A, make it to the main.
Yeah, always start with that.
So what happened? We'll get to that. I mean, I cut you off on that part of it, but
yeah, it was it was got to be some type of electrical starter issue. We're definitely going to look at it tonight.
Okay.
It was running when we ran through tech. I shut it off like normal. And then I go to strap in and go to refire it when they tell us to, and it would just click, and it wouldn't even crank, and it wouldn't even turn over.
Wow.
So, and then I discovered that the battery switch, while the car was running, wouldn't shut off when the ignition was. So it could be that. It could be the locked up starter. We're not going to know until we dig into it. But we usually figure it out pretty quick anyway.
Right.
So,
Gary's an advocate of this. Certain types of fixes need to be done in the shop, not at the track. You know, obviously that wasn't your fault there. You know, so you need to get into the shop so you can dig deeper and find out.
Yeah, and it's just frustrating.
I've had something similar where you've been in lineup and you go to start it and click. It's like everybody's on the track. You're like, I hope they delay it a little bit, try to push start.
Three more laps. Mm-hmm.
And then you can't get out there.
When you roll up to practice, second practice, and the bearings fall out of the axle as you're driving?
Yeah, you nobody wants bearings falling out of any axle.
Boy, I did have a drive
out of
plate.
Anything.
Yeah, really, I did have a drive plate break on me in practice one
really?
Time. That was fun.
Oh. Now, you're right. There are a lot of things that can be done in the shop, but there are always... Like
think you have to do that.
You
don't, you can't,
if
can't
it is
catch
his starter, you can't catch that starter. But
even if it's a bad switch, you know, you can't see inside that switch.
And we've had that problem with switches before. In our class. So.
And it's just super frustrating that when that does happen to you, because it's always the simplest part that just ruins absolutely everything.
Well, you went through practice, you went through qualifying,
everything
all
good.
That, and you're good to
everything
go, you're ready.
Good. Nothing felt funky.
Well, and to me, like when I'm in lineup, not that I do anything to hype myself up, but you kind of ready yourself to get out there,
absolutely.
And you're ready to go, and it's like, meh.
Well, I'll tell you my secret.
Take the wind out of your sails.
My secret is I pray my car starts before I can go on the track.
I look around me and say, I hope that guy don't start next to me.
That's second.
Yeah. That's the second prayer.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Or man, I got to start by that guy.
Well, sorry, you know, that happened, hopefully, and I'm sure you guys will find it and get that behind you and get something different.
It really does suck because, you know, in open comp back in 2018, we got into a wreck. The February race with Kyle Busch, we had an alternator problem in the B main that prevented us making it to the A main easily. The SRL race, I'm not going to count as a bad night because there's a lot to be expected of you. A lot of good cars went home that night.
Yep.
So we definitely tried our best with this one. But this one, it's got to be at or near the top of the list because I really felt like we could have put something together and put on a better showing than what we deserve. But we'll just go back next week and prove it again.
Yeah, you know what? And that's one of those things that we can't control. We learn from it, and you go forward and you put it, you know, just put out instead of 110%, you put out 120% next time you get out there. So it's going to be fun to watch you out there, and I'm sure they'll have a
good one's invited. They have fans.
Yeah, well, you know, that's crazy to me, you know, because we don't know what's going to happen to a lot of these tracks. Obviously, Vegas is one. You know, who would have thought? Who would have thought out of all the tracks on the West Coast, asphalt, one of the premier tracks,
exactly.
You know, would be in the position it's in today, you know?
No, exactly. That's exactly how I feel.
It's crazy to me, you know, but you got tracks like Havasu that, you know, that are lucky to be able to race, but they're in Arizona. So they fall under different rules, but there's tracks like Tucson that have to,
they canceled Chili Willy this year,
exactly.
Because Pima County has a different, they have a different perspective on how they mandate things.
Absolutely.
Compared to Mojave County.
Yep. And we've talked about that. It's not just state to state. It's county to county, city to city. It's you name it. It could be the county fair, head of the county fair that says no, you know?
So I hope they write the ship out over there, because Tucson's another track that I would really love to run on as a super late. I feel like that would be a really fun track
that
to kind of grow
my
skills.
That's a fast track. I've seen 8 wide on that track.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
How crazy that track
it's
is.
It's like mini Talladega.
Yeah,
almost.
Exactly.
So I definitely would love to try that track out whenever they get back open. Definitely want to try Irwindale as a super late, as well as Madera and some other tracks. But, you know, that's just what we're doing this year, is just going wherever we can.
Wherever they say they might be open, right?
Wherever they say they're open, that's where we're headed.
That's the sad part. Unfortunately, it brings up a new way of doing things today, is because you might only find out 2 weeks from now that, let's say, Madera says, hey, we're going to race. You got 2 weeks to prep.
Exactly.
And you might prep and get 2 days out, and they say, oh, guess what? We got closed down again.
You never know. It's like going back to being a UFC fighter in the middle of a fight camp. You're preparing,
right.
you're preparing and training and working on your car, being the best athlete you can be, being the best driver you can be for, you don't even know what opportunity comes up next. That's literally what SRL was, because I knew that was the only opportunity we had. So you're preparing and training for, you know, going through the motions for say around 10, 11 weeks. Then next thing you know, you get at a call and find out that you're racing again in 2 weeks. So now the anticipation really ramps up to get everything going, get the sponsorship money going, work on the car as best you can, as fast as you can, as right as you can, load it up, travel, make it to the track on time and practice. But there's also that possibility 2 days out, you know, it's like a fight card being canceled. You know, they canceled the entire show. So,
but you know, that brings up a good point. You know, as far as being a fighter, let's say you're preparing and all that, as your race team goes, you're doing everything. Your car's ready to go. You just got to fine tune it for that track. Let's say it's a gear change or it's whatever it is. You know, to tune it for whatever track, whether it's a half mile, quarter mile, 3/8 mile, 3rd mile. You know, but. Ultimately, you're ready, just like a fighter. You're prepped. You're ready. You just need to go ahead. You know, and
exactly.
So that's where you want to be. It's just be ready. So
always be prepared. Always be ready, because you never know when the next other opportunity could come up. And hey, you never know what set of eyeballs are on you. So you just got to be at your best. You know, every single time.
You know. Hopefully it never comes to this. There may only be iRacing in the future for all of us. You know? Exactly.
God.
That's my thought. Exactly. You know, but you got to think that could be a real, you know, future.
Then we'll just go back to Max,
dear Lord.
No, we'll go back old school, and it's going to be whatever you can find in the junkyard, the best Mad Max vehicle. Go out to the desert.
We'll go sneak out and we'll go race by Matt's house.
No, absolutely.
It'll be back in the 40s with the moonshine runners. They're going to get so restless behind the computer store. They're going to be all like, you know what? We're just going to put our cars together. We're just going to tune them out to outrun the cops. Let's just raise hell.
We'll have batteries.
And it's going to start up again.
Yeah, we'll have battery cars. So we'll hear any noises at all.
Mm-hmm. We'll hear them come.
Be quiet.
That'd make for some good drag racing, huh?
What?
Hey, those cars go.
Yeah,
like,
they are.
Like
the torque from start to finish is,
oh, yeah.
They go.
Unreal.
But you can't be heard, so yeah, you can race all you want.
I think a Tesla's like, what, 0 to 60 in like, what, 2.5 seconds, if that, maybe faster?
Gary, make some phone calls. See, you set up some Teslas for us. We're going to test them.
We won't have to worry about noise.
Well, not the self-driving ones. Cause the boring
around. Exactly.
No, that's the thing that I don't get. If you're going to go drag racing illegally in the middle of the night, don't put the loudest muffler on there.
Put the quietest, right?
Go steal mommy and daddy's Tesla and go race.
Exactly.
I would. I would do it. If I was a young kid,
just don't get caught. Don't wreck it.
So you can't get caught. They won't hear you. So.
But they can see you.
That's true.
They can see you.
The computer was driving.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Blame it on the computer. Oh, that would be bad. Oh, well. You know, and again, you got to kind of change with the changing times we have right now. And, you know, same thing with your race program. You got to be prepared and then wait for those last minute changes, you know, to whatever track you're going to race at. So, but SRL is, you know, brings up, that to me right now is probably the, you know, the level that you want to test yourself at in the SRLs, because they are constantly growing.
You learn more about yourself as a driver, and you learn more about what improvements to make on the car, because they run a different line than what I was taught and what everybody else was taught, but it works for them.
Right.
You see why they put their cars in a certain position to where they could run 14 O's by just literally dive bombing into every single corner instead of doing a smooth arc like how everybody else has been doing. So that was one of the things that I noticed when I was racing out there with those guys, because I actually tried their line. It actually worked out a little bit better.
Right, and seeing you learn something from that. And, you know, you don't – sometimes we think something's working for us, but we try to mimic what obviously some of the best guys are doing, and you realize, well, this is probably the right way to do it.
At a track like Vegas, you know, there's at least a little bit of wiggle room forever, and there's error, and there's no necessarily right or wrong way to kind of get around there.
Right.
That's the secret to getting around a racetrack, is to being able to – adapt to any situation out there. So
have you thought about racing a full season with SRL, whether it's in prolates or
if I had the funding?
Because you know what they've done too is obviously certain tracks they couldn't race at, they race at some tracks that are, I mean, for you to travel at would be, you know,
hours
and hours in,
and
right,
and like Madeira, you know, that'd be a little bit far out of reach. But, you know, they adapted with their prolate models. The Irwindale, they run on the third mile. I still would prefer to run on there as a super late. And I've heard that Irwindale is trying to adopt to our rules so that they could get some of our cars to come out there. So I'm definitely considering that, you know, as well, to kind of run out there and see what they have. Because I know it would be like a small-ish field. It won't be like SRL. So you'll learn to race the racetrack, but you'll be up.
And there's some good drivers that race there.
Even though the competition will be thin in quality,
right?
I mean, in quantity, the quality of it will be
absolutely
huge.
Yeah, there's
so,
some great racers racing out of there.
Absolutely.
You know, so, yeah, that would be interesting. Hopefully, and again, you don't know. I mean, Irwindale has been able to get some races in, but not probably as many.
They've been able to rise from the dead at least, I don't know, 15 times.
Right.
They threatened to close, and then they reopened, and they closed, and they reopened again.
Yep.
This is routine for them.
Right. Yeah, they're used to it. They're probably the most prepped for this kind of thing going on, you know?
But then that's also the difference. They're trying, and they're communicating, and we're getting crickets here.
They might be getting crickets. We don't know that.
But
we don't know. I mean, at least I don't know.
To say that, we want to open.
Well, keep in mind, LA County and California in general is like in complete full shutdown.
It's shut down.
Yeah, right.
That's why my sister's been living out here for the time being. So then again, we don't know. We don't know what that is.
She likes freedom?
Just enough. Just enough.
You know, and then again, that's, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. Like LA, like you said, LA County shut down. San Bernardino County is probably not shut down, but then again, you don't know if the local, you know, authorities are doing their own shutdown or whatever. So we'll have to see. You know, it's a new year. Happy New Year, of course, to everybody. You know, this is our first show of the year again with Johnny Spilatro. We're looking forward to watching you race We'll be keeping an eye on you and all that.
Jimmy Parker Jr. says that Irwindale has already got our same rules.
Okay.
The same rules.
In the prolate? Prolate?
Probably super late. Yeah, because I know he ran out there a couple times and won one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So it just depends on if they're going to have a super late model season for us to kind of on a run at. And if that's the case, you know, I'm totally on board with that.
Right. How do you feel about racing with no fans? You know, I mean, because to me, part of the fun was to be able to, you know they're there, but not really care if they're there. But
outside the car, you know, I kind of missed it, you know, especially, you know, during autograph sessions and interacting with the fans and inviting the sponsors out and having tailgates with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just brings in a whole lot of energy. But when you're inside the car, it doesn't make a bit of
difference.
You kind of tune out that noise a little bit. And there's a reason why those headrests are around you. Well, there's two reasons. One, so that you don't rip your neck off in the middle of a wreck. And two, so that you're always, you know, focused forward and what's ahead of
you. Kind of like your blinders, right?
Exactly. So you're not necessarily worried about the crowd as much. You're just worried about what's in front of you. So I'm a little bit I see both sides of it.
That's my problem. I'm too worried about who's behind me, not in front of me.
A mirror driver.
Jimmy says super late.
Super late. Okay. So. Okay. Well, that's cool. You know, obviously they did something similar with the pro lates. You know, obviously with the SRLs going to take them under their wing this year. But that's what before all this. You know, Irwindale, Vegas, Havasu.
George Anhill just said that Irwindale asked for the rule book from Vegas.
From us.
The bullring. So
well, there you have it.
So that's good. You know, they know, they see, you know, an opportunity, of course, to increase some car counts, and guys need somewhere to go race, you know. And if they can, then, you know, that's good. It opens doors for other guys.
And then even for the lower class, because I know they have skid plate there.
Right. So would you travel to race skid plate there?
Yeah. No, I want to go because it's a flatter it's a flat track where ours is banked, and I'm curious how the car
– And bigger.
But they got like 25 skinny tires.
And a chicane.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Where would you like try to get like, hey, let's get a handful of guys and go down there and let's all go race these guys. Let's be the Vegas guys going down there and race the skid plates.
We initially had a plan, like me, Cindy, Dennis, Larry, Racer X. We were going to do that, and then everything just kind of the COVID thing. And
right, everything kind of just
– Everyone kind of – lost their cars, changed their cars, ruined their cars.
Right.
So I think once we, because everyone's now building an advance, you know, they're building a mini stock that can skid plate instead of a skid plate that.
Which is good, you know, like safety wise, when they first introduced those, the rules were kind of a lot to, you know.
Yes.
But no, I think everyone's going to rebuild or modify their car that. Once the season gets open, I think you're going to see a lot of our skid plates out there in Irwindale. And then doing mini stock in Pahrump.
They'll get a little dirt experience.
And speaking of Pahrump, February 13th is their first race of the year.
Already?
Yes.
They just shut down.
February 13th is their
first
race.
They rose from the dead.
Right.
It's the Irwindale effect.
Now, and Gary, you've watched races out there. They allow fans. They're also.
Oh, yes.
That's just crazy to me. It seems like the dirt tracks, of course, Havasu is an exception because they're an asphalt track, but it seems like the dirt tracks are able to get fans.
Yes.
What's up with that?
I've been
why?
There several times watching.
That's why.
I had to wear a hat. I didn't know who
disguise.
I was. But yes, February 13th is their first race.
That's
and
crazy.
Yes, I have
wow.
been out there to watch, and I more than likely will go watch on the 13th.
Go race then.
Depends on
go
where
race.
I'm at.
I'm sorry, watch. Yeah,
yeah, watch.
You ever thought about playing in the dirt a little bit?
I definitely would love of the opportunity to play in the dirt at least once or twice just to get some more car control.
Get one of these bombers going and let's get Johnny in there and have some fun, relax. Sponsors real quick. You only got a little bit of time.
Well, I just want to thank all my partners at Frank's European Services. Frank Skinder is a really great guy. Definitely happy that he came on board for the SRL race, as well as all my other friends at Polar Shades, Bravo Tickets, Diamondback Land Surveying, Full Metal Worldwide, CSM Graphics, RebelNet.com, the Anson Foundation. I think I got them all.
If they haven't, it's not because you forgot about them. It's just one of those things happening. If they do want to find out more, how can they find more about Johnny Colasso?
Yeah, follow me on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook at Johnny Colasso, JohnnySpilotro. Kind of keep it all the same. Definitely wish everybody a happy new year, and look forward to seeing you out there at Havasu on January 16th, where we're going to put on a better show. We're coming for everybody.
Great deal. We're going to look out for you. Appreciate you being here. We'll see you live next Tuesday. Cam, we will be in the
yeah.
So we'll see you live next Tuesday.
Yeah.
On GoldsNow.com.
Happy New Year. Thanks for listening.